Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonhomme, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
How's everyone feeling this morning? What a year that we've just passed, and what a great year that we've just entered, right? I woke up this morning and Mona, my wife, said, "Andrew, you're going to preach well today." I said to her, "Why, Mona?" She goes, "You've been preaching all night in your dreams." So, I believe that last year has been one that has tested our commitment and determination to the God that we serve. I believe that some have succeeded in 2020 and some of us have learned so much. In Horizon Church, we have no failures. It's either we succeed or we learn, right? Do you agree with me this morning? Look, if you're a loud crowd, I will preach better. Come on. 2020 has been a year that needed commitment. You know, it needed persistence and determination to get us here to 2021. If you're here this morning, I just want to thank you for your commitment to the house of God. I just want to thank you for your determination to the call of God. I want to thank you for trusting God through all the mess that has taken place. But I can assure you that this morning we are worshiping, we are praising a living God, one that has great plans for us, and He is able to turn all the mess in our favor. Just before we dive into the Word of God, which I can't wait to do, I believe that this morning you are not here by accident or coincidence, not by mistake. In fact, you are here by supernatural, divine appointment. I believe God is going to speak right into your situation this morning, and I believe that you will leave this place with kingdom strategies like you've never seen before. This morning, I believe there is so much faith, expectation in the atmosphere. When this happens, I get excited because I know that my God responds to hunger. I believe that there are people in the room who have been questioning God on some issues. Why is this happening to me? Asking God for next steps in their life, and God, what's next? What's my next move? Wanting to take a leap of faith, but are fearful from the familiar. They don't want to leave the familiar to go to the unfamiliar. I believe that God will answer many of your requests and your questions if you would invite Him and allow Him to do His work. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, said to His servants, "Do whatever He tells you to do." Ruth said to Naomi, "I will do whatever you tell me to do." I just want to start off by asking you a question. Have you ever made a decision based on lack? All of us can make a decision, and an easy decision, based on abundance. But have you made a decision based on lack? I remember 30 years ago when I came to this amazing country, Australia. In Egypt, I've never seen a swimming pool before. So when I came to school, they gave us the choice to choose our own sports. I saw water polo. I ticked it. And then I looked at my friend next to me. He was my translator back then. I said, "What's water polo?" He said, "It's soccer in the water." I said, "I can play soccer on ground, so soccer in the water will be much easier." I ticked it. The last, you know, we went to the swimming pool on the day of our sports. The guy goes, "Jump in." I jumped in, and the last thing I heard was, "Jump in." I couldn't swim. I was going to drown. This guy comes and he rescues me. He goes, "Do you know how to swim?" I said, "No." He goes, and I said to him, "It never asked, the paper never asked if you can swim or not. It said water polo." So I made a decision based on what I was lacking. Since then, I've been committed determined, I can swim. One day, I will take you out on my jet ski as well. This morning, we're going to examine a story in the Word of God that revolves around a man who decides to make a permanent decision based on a temporary problem. Out of lack, rather than depending on the God that he serves. This decision does not only affect him, like in my own situation, where if I was drowned, you know, if I drowned, it would have affected me. But this decision affected his entire family. The story has an incredible ending due to the commitment and determination of a godly woman by the name of Ruth. If you would like to put a title to this morning's message, you can title it, Committed and Determined. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd love if you can turn to the book of Ruth. And we're going to read a few passages this morning where God has been speaking to me clearly in this season. Let's start off by looking at the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1 to 19. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine. Not sure what famine you're experiencing this morning. Famine means a lack of food. But this could also mean a lack of something else in our life. Could be relationships, could be a lack of finances, could be a lack of faith. So I'm not sure where the Holy Spirit is landing in your situation this morning. Are you with me this year? Come on. In the land, so a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They are Ephrathites from Bethlehem of Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord know your kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me as well. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. I don't know what you want to kiss goodbye in your situation this morning, but Ruth clung. Everyone say clung to her. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized the truth was determined to go with her, She stopped urging her, so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. A little background of the story, and I promise I won't give you a theology lesson this morning. The book of Ruth was written during the times of Judges, where Israel had no king. Repeatedly turned away from God and worshipped idols. And what happened was, the godly was affected, was the non-godly. Every man did what was right in their own eye. The book of Judges is the story of Israel at one of its lowest point in history. There is no king in Israel, and there will not be until Jesus Christ returns. We have two characters in this story, each of them hanging at the opposite extremity of the scale of commitment and determination. We meet a man by the name of Elimelech, who sits at the lowest end of the scale, where his commitment and his determination has been diminished. As a result, he is driven by the circumstances. He runs away from his problems, makes a permanent decision based on a temporary problem. Because as we heard in the reading, that later on we see God coming back to the land of Bethlehem. Relating that to COVID, COVID is a temporary problem. Can't use a temporary problem and make a permanent decision. In fact, when we look at the Hebrew meaning of his name means, so Elimelech means, God is my king. How sad is it that his name declares the goodness of God and the position of God in his life? Not only that, but when we look at where God placed him in Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. So Elimelech, if God is your king and God has placed you in the land of abundance, the house of bread, why did you allow your circumstances of unbelief to control your destiny and to control the plans of God for your life? You know, sometimes when trouble comes our way and we are hit by trials, we do one of three things. We either endure it, put up with it, number two, escape it, or enlist it. If we only endure our trials, then our trials become our master. And we become bitter and hard to the will of God, to God Himself, and every Christian that's around us. If we try to escape and run away from it, we are escaping the purpose of God in our life. But if we try to enlist it means we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our situation. We go on our knees. We wake up 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. And you go, God, I cannot do this alone. This is a trial that's testing me. I cannot do it alone. I need your help. Bringing a friend, a close friend up and saying, I need your help. In the kingdom of God, we cannot do anything alone. That's why God's placed us all together as one big family. If we enlist it, then our trials become our servants and not our masters. They work to our benefit rather than against us. God will work all things for good for those that love Him. Elimelech experienced famine, resulting in him honoring the enemy and not the Lord. He abandoned God's land, abandoned God's people for the land and the people of the enemy. He picks up his wife Naomi, 2 children, and travels 50 miles away. When we look at 50 miles, is not a long distance. It's only from here to Penrith when I looked up. So it's not a long, it's not another country. It's not a huge decision. It's not a huge move. I just want you to pay attention. It's not 100 miles. It's not 200 miles. It's only 50 miles. And that proves to us this morning that if we are not in sync with the Holy Spirit and the will of God, we can be on the edge to miss the blessings and the favor that God has called us for. In this situation, the distance between the blessing, the presence, the visitation of the Holy Spirit is only 50 miles away from the land of the enemy. The Moabites were descendants of Lot from an ungodly relationship with Lot and his firstborn daughter. But not only that, the Jews, they were also the Jews' enemies. We find this in Deuteronomy 23, 3 to 4. Moses tells the Israelites, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, nor even in the 10th generation. Why? For they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt. Wow. If we're not generous, really upsets the Lord, eh? Yet Elimelech transitions his whole family, not just affecting himself, but his whole family. You have to understand that sometimes when you make a decision, you have to think of everyone in your family and not just you. You know, to the land of the enemy where the blessing of God has been withdrawn. Elimelech ends up dying in Moab when he gets there, leaving behind Naomi, his wife, and his two sons. The two sons end up marrying two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. But then 10 years later, both of his sons also die. So the husband dies. 10 years later, the two sons pass away. When we look at the journey of Naomi, she entered Moabite with her husband and two sons. When she was there, she was left with two daughters-in-law and three tombs. When she came out with Ruth. Why did she come out? Because in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, the Word of God tells us, when Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people. This morning, I believe God is coming to your aid. I believe God's going to do something of the supernatural in your life. You've been committed to the house of God and to the people of God, determined, and it's your turn now to receive something of the supernatural. Here we meet amazing Ruth, who sits on the highest point of the scale of commitment and determination. She's committed to her mother-in-law out of love and loyalty. Do we have some loyal place people in Horizon Church this morning? Come on, give me a shout if you're a loyal person. Come on, wow. She's determined to leave the land of the enemy and enter the land of the living God, who has come back to visit the people, showering them back in Bethlehem with blessings, grace, and mercy. She's determined to try something new. She's determined to try some new pressures to get her to her place of elevation. She's determined to break some new barriers in 2021. She's determined to face new cultures. She's determined to meet the God of Israel, who she never saw, but all that she knew about him was from her mother-in-law, Naomi. Determined and ready to meet anyone God is willing to place in her path to reach her destiny. Point number one for today, and it's three revelations that God gave me. Actually, he gave me 100 revelations, to be honest with you. If I can't 100 up, I'll just give you three. I've been on that journey since the first of the first this year. Ruth was ready to learn new methods and modes of operation. Ruth had to learn a whole new way of life. She had lived as a Moabite woman in Moab her entire life and was now coming into a land where people did everything different. I'm pretty sure when Kyle came from South Africa, he experienced a different culture, guaranteed, like I did when I came from Egypt. We had to learn new things. We had to open our minds of new methods of operation in this amazing country, Australia. This morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to open us up to new possibilities, to new promotions, to new methods of doing things, new strategies. You know, in 2020, you were doing it in a certain way. But I believe in 2021, God wants to show you a new way. But I want you to get the second word into your spirit in an accelerated method, accelerated pathway. You could be looking at me and saying, hasn't happened yet. It's not my way. I just want to remind you by Isaiah 55:89. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways are my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. The question is, are we open for God to do something new and unexpected, unfamiliar things in our life in 2021. You know, Ruth succeeded because she had a new mindset. She was open to new things and willing to learn. Would you ask the Holy Spirit this morning and as we pray at the end to give you a new mindset for 2021? Ruth excelled because she listened to her mentor, Naomi, who trained her in how to operate under a new culture. You know, when I went to that school that I mentioned, I had a translator with me who was explaining why do they do this and why do they do that. Is God calling you this morning to a new culture in leading your family in 2021? I sat with my children and my wife at the beginning of this year. I said, okay, last year we've done this and that and so on. But this year, we're going to do it different. A new culture, a new business, or a new culture, a new relationship, a new culture, a new organization. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22 that obedience is better than sacrifice. Ruth's willingness and her obedience to the counsel of Naomi was crucial to her survival. Romans 12:9 tells us and reminds us, love must be sincere. If you're not going to be sincere, don't love. You're sincere and you love that person or you don't love him at all. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. When God sends a wise counsel your way, this year, because he will, if you ask him. Cling to that person. Form a godly two-way, remember this word, two-way relationship with that person. Not a one-way relationship with that person. Otherwise, this counsel will very quickly disappear. Even the world tells us. Relationships or good relationships are like a bank account. You can't keep on taking money out without depositing money in. Ruth, point number two, Ruth was open to the people God has placed in her path. You know, Ruth was not only open to new methods of operations, new modes of operation, but she was also open to anyone God placed in her way. She didn't go about her destiny with the mindset, she can do everything alone. I can't do life without Mona. I can't do life without Carl. I can't do life without Jackson. God has placed us all together so that we can do things together for His glory, not our glory. I just want to let you know that we cannot get any glory from whatever we do because we are not built to carry glory. If we try to carry glory, we will fall. He is the only one that can carry glory. If we open up Ruth chapter 2 and verse 8, so Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the woman who works for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along with the woman. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you." Ruth being open to Boaz's advice and relationship, she positioned herself for the supernatural protection of God. He said to her, "I told no man is to touch you. And whenever, look at that, whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water just the men have filled." She positioned herself for supernatural provision. No one else could drink from that water except if someone buys it. But he said, "You can." At this, she bowed down with her face, humility, to the ground. She asked him a question. "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me and I'm a foreigner?" Church, this morning, I declare that you receive that same favor. I declare that 2021, you operate under kingdom principles and that you would receive supernatural favor and you would start asking God, "God, why me? Why me?" I declare this over every person under the sound of my voice this morning. Boaz replied, "I have been told all about you, what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before." She was open to people she met. But not only that, Boaz knew that this woman was a loyal woman. He knew she left her father, mother, everyone for her mother-in-law because she had connected with her. You can physically connect to someone, but spiritually, it's much stronger. But not only that, you could be asking me a question this morning. And the question may be, how do I know that God has placed that person in my life? And it's easy. I won't read it because of the timing. But then Boaz directs Ruth to the refuge of the God of Israel. The person God's going to put in your life will be one that will point you to Jesus, will be one that will point you to the Holy Spirit, will be one that will point you to the refuge of the God of Israel. Not his money, not his finances, not his position, but he will always direct you. And this is an amazing test to take when you are questioning, is this a person that God has placed in my path or not? Point number three, Ruth was open to the law of redemption, the Levirate law. She was ready and willing, faithful and hardworking. But she had a problem. Her problem was that she was unaware of Jewish customs and traditions. But she had a good lawyer on her side. Her lawyer was Naomi and Associates.com. Naomi, older, respected, aware of Jewish customs, well-versed in her culture, and in all the provisions God made in the law of Moses for her and her people to live under the blessings and the protection of God's covenant with them. She gives her directions on how to approach Boaz. She goes to her, wash your face, anoint yourself with perfume, put on your best clothes, and go to him in the middle of the night. Uncover his feet. Imagine if this is the way that God has spoken to you to go and propose this morning. Wouldn't it be uncomfortable? Wouldn't it be out of your comfort zone? But Ruth said to her, I will do whatever you tell me to do. What does Boaz do? Grabs the corner of his garment and he covers her. It's an acceptance. It's a way of acceptance in the Jewish culture. He said to her, I will redeem you. Don't you worry. But because he is a man of honor, and the Levirate law tells us that if the husband of a widow passes away and she's childless, his brother has to marry to her so his name is not blotted from the land of Israel. But Ruth had a problem. Her husband died and his brother also died. So he said to her, Boaz said to her, there is one more person in town that's closer to you than me. If he doesn't redeem you by the morning, I'm going to redeem you. Don't you worry. The morning passes and he redeemed her. Redemption can only take place if someone is willing, if someone is able to pay the price, and if someone is the closest to that person. Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ. You know, you can redeem a land with money, redeem a house with money, but you cannot. There is no money enough in this world to be able to redeem you and redeem me from our shortcomings, from our shame. It can only be through the blood of Jesus and Jesus Christ Himself. As you stand up with me this morning, I want to pray for you before I pass on to Pastor Brad. I want to declare a few things over you. I want you to lift up your hand towards heaven. And I want you to start handing over whatever the Holy Spirit has spoken to you this morning. I'm not sure what barriers the Holy Spirit wants you to break for 2021. But can we start handing it over to Him? Start asking Him to start speaking to you about the people He wants you to include in your life for 2021. Submit to Him. Submit to His call this morning. Tell Him that you are willing. Boaz was willing. Tell Him this morning, Holy Spirit, I'm willing. I'm committed to your call. I'm determined to serve Him. Tell Him that you are determined to serve Him this morning. You know, you could serve Him this year leading a live group. You could serve Him on the worship team. There's millions of places that we have for you at Horizons Church to serve the King of Kings. There is room for you. He's looking for committed people and determined people. Tell Him that you are willing this morning. Where you go, I will go, she told him. She told her. Tell Him that you will not move and that you will park your plans to embark on His plans. Lift up His name this morning. Tell Him, if you don't go, I'm not going to go. If you don't go before me, I will not leave your presence. I am not moving out of here today until you bless me. I'm not going to go out of Horizon Church, Sydney here until you bless me this morning. Hold on to His garment. Hold on to Him. And so that God says, tell Him, the blessing is mine this morning. Come on. You want to be blessed? Ask for it this morning. I want you to grab something of the supernatural. He said to Moses, I appear to everyone in visions. I appear to everyone in dreams. But to Moses, my servant, I appear to him face to face. Come on, ask Him to speak to you face to face this morning. She said to her, your people are my people. She's committed to the people of God. God saying to you, are you committed to the people that God has placed around you in Horizon Church this morning? Around your circle this morning, are you committed? God's asking about your commitment this morning. God's asking about you, are you determined to the house of God this morning? God's asking you about your loyalty. Are you loyal to the house of God? How was Ruth loyal to her church? Absolutely, she had a church. Her church was Naomi. He said to her, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'm going to stay. Even death will not separate me from you. Come on, church. Let's lift up the name of Jesus this morning and ask Him something of the supernatural. Thank you, worship team.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.